Hello there, everyone, and welcome to Leap of Faith Podcast. I'm Lorraine, I'm your host, and today we are episode 114.2. We are beginning 1 Kings chapter 1 today. We finished up 2 Samuel yesterday, and this is exciting. We're into a whole new book in the Bible, in the Old Testament. So welcome to everybody out there. We're so grateful that you're here listening. For all you old-timers who've been with us since the beginning, or you jumped in the middle, and for all you newcomers, if you're new to this, it's not an accident. You're here because you were looking for something, and you found us. When I say us, I'm talking about Leap of Faith Podcast. It's me and my co-host, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah's been a little busy this week, so I've been flying solo, which is cool. That's fine. But we did this together. We started this together a couple years back. We read the Bible 5 days a week, one chapter a day. Kind of makes it a little easier to kind of, you know, gives you a 20-minute break in your day, and you're reading your Bible, getting to know God a little bit better. So I just want to say, you know, we're not fancy, we're not flashy, we don't have a studio, we don't do crazy things, we don't have, you know, I mean, I know there are people who are on YouTube and Instagram who are very flashy and have a bajillion followers and whatever. You know what, we're not that. It's not to spotlight us, it is to completely spotlight God and learning about Him more and more every day. So, you know, like I said, we're not flashy. We, you know, you see this little thing behind me. It's my wall and my wingback chair. That's it. Sometimes I put a little makeup on during the day, but most of the days I don't. And that's it. I mean, you know, this is all about God, and it's about you and His relationship with God. So, and me too. I mean, I learn every day when I learn something new. Anyway, so I just wanted to kind of give a little background of who we are and what we do. So as we're starting a new book, just real quick, this is, if you are new, this is the Bible that we use. It's a New Living Translation. You can get this on the Bible app on your phone. I encourage you to actually get a paper and ink book Bible printed, because you can highlight in it, and it's, to me, reading paper is better. I comprehend better. But my point is that you flip to the beginning of this, and it says, it kind of gives you a little bit of a background on 1 Kings. So it tells you that David's son Solomon is going to be taken over as king, and he builds the temple in Jerusalem. Because that's what God had previously said He was going to do. It was already prophesied, and then there's a division between Israel and Judah, which we'd already kind of talked about with Jeremiah earlier, a couple of weeks back, I think it was. Now I find this kind of cool that if you look down to who the author is, they don't know for sure, but they think it's Jeremiah, which for me that's kind of interesting because I'm going into the book of Jeremiah in a couple of days, starting, I think, next week, next Monday. So I'm very excited that I'm sort of paralleling 1 Kings with the book of Jeremiah. So that's kind of interesting for me. Just saying. And the other thing that I find interesting about this is that it was written in 562 BC, which is 562 years before Jesus came onto this earth. So just a few little tidbits that popped out at me. I wanted to say this. So I was reading on the next page where it shows April 1st, because this is a daily Bible reading where you're supposed to read more than one chapter, but I don't. So I thought this was sort of interesting, like a little bit of homework for everybody. It says down under my daily walk, I got to get my reader so I don't mess it up. But I think it says, write the words of 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9 on a piece of paper and place it on the shoes you will wear tomorrow. Let this verse remind you that God has new paths of service for you to blaze, regardless of who has preceded you. It doesn't matter who's behind you or before you. So I flipped over to chapter 3, and verse 9 says, "Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" You can't do it by yourself. I think that's sort of interesting. But he's looking for this is what Solomon asks for. He asks for an understanding heart. He asks for wisdom in order to govern. So write that on your shoes so that you will have an understanding heart and some wisdom for tomorrow as you go into your day. You know, and it goes back to what we pray. I have my little prayer at the end of the beginning prayer that I have. And, you know, "Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet the people you want me to meet. Let me say the words you want me to say." It's, we're asking God to guide and direct us in all things. So I thought that was an interesting little bit of homework for everybody to do. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it after I finish here. All right. Well, with that said, I'm going to start. I'm going to say opening prayer. Then I'm going to give you your verse of the day. And then we'll read our verse, our chapter. I'm sorry. So let's pray. Holy and mighty God, we come to you at your throne. We bow down before you and we worship you. We exalt you. We glorify you. We put you up on high because that's who you are. You are our Heavenly Father and you love us so much. It's amazing. And Lord, I am grateful for all that you've done for me and my family, for my friends. I see your hands working every day, and I'm just so thankful for that. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to read your word out into the world every day. I am thankful that you put this on my heart, and I'm thankful that I have the sense to be obedient to you. Lord, use this ministry as a tool and use us and help us to be the example of who Christ is. That's what we long for. We want to be good examples of who Christ is. And Lord, we are thankful for your son, Jesus Christ. We're thanking you for his sacrifice on the cross. It's the blood that he shed for our sins that gives us salvation and the guarantee of going to heaven and living eternity with you and your son, Jesus. What an amazing gift. So thank you. Thank you for loving us so much. And Lord, I'm thankful for those who are out there, who are listening, watching. I pray blessings over every person out there who is being obedient to you, listening to you, reading your word, and trying to get to know you a little bit better. Guard our hearts, guard our lives, guard our families, protect us, and keep us on the right path, and keep us focused on what you want us to do. Lord, I ask you to come into this time in your word. I pray blessings over it, and Lord, reveal to us what it is that you want us to learn from today's reading. Lord, take us where you want us to go. Let us meet the people you want us to meet. Let us say the words you want us to say. And keep us out of your way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, let's see what today's verse is. It's a little, you know what? Actually, I picked this verse because, you know, okay. Sometimes I go into my devotional. And so this was actually March 9th, which is a couple of days from now. And I saw this. I know I've used this verse before, but it's one of my favorites because it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And so I just wanted to use it again today. So today is from Galatians 5:22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness." I love that. I mean, that gives you, you know, the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace, patience, kindness, goodness. I aspire to try to be all of this. My biggest thing is patience. Apparently my children tell me I don't have any patience. I thought I had plenty of patience, but according to them, I don't. But anyway, I love this, and you know, maybe one day I'll have this like hanging in my house somewhere. But I just thought this is one of these verses that sort of, it just gives me joy to read that verse. So I hope it gives you a little bit of joy too. All right, well, let's go ahead and dive into 1 Kings and see what is going on here with Solomon. So we are 114.2, and this is chapter 1. David in his old age. King David was now very old, and no matter how many blankets covered him, he could not keep warm. So his advisors told him, "Let us find a young virgin to wait on you and look after you, my lord. She will lie in your arms and keep you warm." So they searched throughout the land of Israel for a beautiful girl, and they found Abishag from Shunem and brought her to the king. The girl was very beautiful, and she looked after the king and took care of him, but the king had no sexual relations with her. Adonijah claims the throne. About that time, David's son Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith, began boasting, "I will make myself king." So he provided himself with chariots and charioteers and recruited 50 men to run in front of him. Now his father, King David, had never disciplined him at any time, even by asking, "Why are you doing that?" Adonijah had been born next after Absalom, and he was very handsome. Adonijah took Joab, son of Zeruiah, and Abiathar, the priest, into his confidence, and they agreed to help him become king. But Zadok, the priest, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, Nathan, the prophet, Shimei, Ray, and David's personal bodyguard refused to support Adonijah. Adonijah went to the stone of Zoheleth near the spring of Enrogel, where he sacrificed sheep, cattle, and fattened calves. He invited all his brothers, the other sons of King David, and all the royal officials of Judah, but he did not invite Nathan, the prophet of Benaiah, or the king's bodyguard, or his brother Solomon. Then Nathan went to Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, and asked her, "Haven't you heard that Haggith's son Adonijah has made himself king, and our lord David doesn't even know about it? If you want to save your own life and the life of your son Solomon, follow my advice. Go at once to King David and say to him, 'My lord, the king, didn't you make a vow and say to me, your son Solomon will surely be the next king and will sit on my throne? Why then has Adonijah become king? And while you are still talking with him, I will come and confirm everything you have said.' So Bathsheba went into the king's bedroom. He was very old now, and Abishag was taking care of him. Bathsheba bowed down before the king. 'What can I do for you?' he asked her. She replied, 'My lord, you made a vow before the Lord your God when you said to me, your son Solomon will surely be the next king and will sit on my throne. But instead, Adonijah has made himself king, and my lord, the king, does not even know about it. He has sacrificed many cattle, fattened calves, and sheep, and he has invited all the king's sons to attend the celebration. He also invited Abiathar, the priest, and Joab, the commander of the army, but he did not invite your servant Solomon. And now, my lord the king, all Israel's waiting for you to announce who will become king after you. If you do not act, my son Solomon and I will be treated as criminals as soon as my lord the king has died.' While she was still speaking with the king, Nathan the prophet arrived. The king's officials told him, 'Nathan the prophet is here to see you.' Nathan went in and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. Nathan asked, 'My lord, the king, have you decided that Adonijah will be the next king and that he will sit on your throne? Today he has sacrificed many cattle, fattened calves, and sheep, and he has invited all the king's sons to attend the celebration. He also invited the commanders of the army and Abiathar the priest. They are feasting and drinking with him and shouting, "Long live King Adonijah!" But he did not invite me, or Zadok, the priest of Benaiah, or your servant Solomon. Has has my lord the king really done this without letting any of his officials know who should be the next king? David makes king makes Solomon king. King David responded, "Call Bathsheba." So she came back in and stood before the king. And the king repeated his vow. "As surely as the Lord lives, who has rescued me from every danger, your son Solomon will be the next king and will sit on my throne this very day, just as I vowed to you before the Lord, the God of Israel." Then Bathsheba bowed down with her face to the ground before the king and exclaimed, "May my Lord King David live forever." Then King David ordered, "Call Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah son of Jehoiada." When they came into the king's presence, the king said to them, "Take Solomon and my officials down to Gihon Spring. Solomon is to ride on my mule. There, Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet are to anoint him king over Israel. Blow the ram's horn and shout, 'Long live King Solomon!' Then escort him back here, and he will sit on my throne. He will succeed me as king, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah." "Amen," Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, replied. "May the Lord, the God of my lord the king, decree that it happen. And may the Lord be with Solomon as he has been with you, my lord the king, and may he make Solomon's reign even greater than yours." So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and the king's bodyguard took Solomon down to Gihon Spring with Solomon riding on King David's own mule. There, Zadok the priest took the flask of oil, olive oil, from the sacred tent and anointed Solomon with the oil. Then they sounded the ram's horn and all the people shouted, "Long live King Solomon!" And all the people followed Solomon into Jerusalem playing flutes and shouting for joy. The celebration was so joyous and noisy that the earth shook with the sound. Adonijah and his guests heard the celebrating and shouting just as they were finishing their banquet. When Joab heard the sound of the ram's horn, he asked, "What's going on? What is the city in such an uproar?" And while he was still speaking, Jonathan, son of Abiathar, the priest, arrived. "Come in," Adonijah said to him, "for you are a good man. You must have good news." "Not at all," Jonathan replied. "Our lord, King David, has just declared Solomon king. The king sent him down to Gihon Spring with Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, protected by the king's bodyguard. They had him ride on the king's own mule, and Zadok and Nathan have anointed him at Gihon Spring as the new king. They have just returned, and the whole city is celebrating and rejoicing. That's what all the noise is about. What's more, Solomon is now sitting on the royal throne as king, and all the royal officials have gone to King David and congratulated him, saying, 'May your God make Solomon's fame even greater than your own, and may Solomon's reign be even greater than yours.'" Then the king bowed his head in worship as he lay in his bed, and he said, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who today has chosen a successor to sit on my throne while I am still alive to see it." Then all of Adonijah's guests jumped up in panic from the banquet table and quickly scattered. Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, so he rushed to the sacred tent and grabbed onto the horns of the altar. Word soon reached Solomon that Adonijah had seized the horns of the altar in fear, and that he was pleading, "Let King Solomon swear today that he will not kill me." Solomon replied, "If he proves himself to be loyal, not a hair on his head will be touched. But if he makes trouble, he will die." So King Solomon summoned Adonijah, and they brought him down from the altar. He came and bowed respectfully before King Solomon, who dismissed him, saying, "Go home." All right, well, lots of stuff here. I highlighted a good portion of this on the second page. So I basically highlighted the name Abishag, who is the virgin who went to take care of David. I don't know why that was important, but I just thought I don't know. In verse 5, I highlighted Adonijah, and whose mother was Haggith, and he's boasting, I will make myself king. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to take, you know, and run with it. Adonijah took Joab, son of Zeruiah, and Abiathar, the priest, into his confidence. So Joab and Abiathar, I think, were under David's, as I thought Joab was like one of his, like, commanders. I'm going to pause for a second while that noise stops. But there were men that were loyal to King David. And so you have Zadok the priest, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Ray, and David's personal bodyguard. They did not go along with Adonijah. So, Adonijah's, you know, doing his thing, thinking he's becoming, you know, the king of Israel. But Nathan goes to Bathsheba and says, you know, tells him everything that's going on. And so Bathsheba, you know, goes to David and, you know, says, you know, reminds David, and this is in verse 17, my Lord, you made a vow before the Lord your God when you said to me, your son Solomon will surely be the next king and will sit on my throne. Instead, Adonijah is trying to make himself the king of Israel. Now, back it up. Nathan said that if you go to David, I'm going to back you up. I'll show up and I will back you up and, you know, tell David the same thing. All right. So while she is speaking with the king, this is down in 22, Nathan the prophet arrives, and the king's officials announce him. So Nathan goes in. They probably dismiss Bathsheba because women were secondary, I guess. Anyway, he says, my lord, the king, have you decided that Adonijah will be the next king and that he will sit on your throne? Because today he's sacrificing, you know, calves and, you know, cattle, and he's taken it upon himself to become the king. But he did not. So he's like, he invited the commanders and the army of Abiathar, the priest, you know, he's invited Joab, all these guys. Okay. But he reminds him, he's like, well, he didn't invite me or Zadok the priest or Benaiah or your servant Solomon, you know. We were kind of left out because he knows that this is not the way it's supposed to go. And so, of course, this is when David makes Solomon king. And so he brings Bathsheba back in and says, as surely as the Lord lives, who has rescued me from every danger, your son Solomon will be the next king and will sit on my throne. This very day, just as I vowed to you before the Lord. And Bathsheba is like, you know, thank you, Jesus, you know. Well, she didn't say that because Jesus wasn't around yet. But she's like, oh, thank God. Okay. So then the king orders for Zadok, the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, to take Solomon on his personal mule down to the spring and anoint him as king, and then blow the ram's horn. And, of course, Benaiah is like, oh, my goodness. Again, everybody's like, thank God you're seeing this before you go. So he says, he kind of blesses David. May the Lord, the God of my Lord, the king, decree that it happen, and may the Lord be with Solomon as he has been with you, my Lord, the king, and may he make Solomon's reign even better than yours. Okay. So they do all that. They take him down to the spring. They anoint him. And they blow the ram's horn, and all the people shouted, long live King Solomon. And the celebration was so joyous and noisy that the earth shook with the sound. And so then Adonijah and his guests hear what's going on, and they're like, what's going on? And so Jonathan shows up. I don't know which Jonathan this is, but Jonathan shows up, and he's like, David just, you know, proclaimed Solomon as king. This is not a good thing for us. And of course, where does it say? Then all of the guests, okay, so wait a second. So then the king bowed his head in worship as he lay in bed, and he said, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who today has chosen a successor to sit on my throne, and I'm still alive to see it." Well, then all of Adonijah's guests jump up and split. They're gone because they're like, oh, I don't want to be a part of this. I don't need, so they betray Adonijah and they're out of there. So then Adonijah knows he's in a world of hurt. And he runs to the altar. I don't know what this means, what this signifies, but he seizes the horns of the altar in fear, and he's pleading, "Let King Solomon swear today that he will not kill me." And of course, Solomon says, if he proves himself to be loyal, not a hair on his head will be touched. But if he makes any trouble, he will die. And then he tells, Solomon summons Adonijah, and they brought him in there, and he came and bowed respectfully before the king. And then Solomon's like, go home. He's like, okay, you're done. Just get out of here. So he dismisses him. That's the way I read it. I don't know. I mean, it could be different, but that's what the way I'm reading it. All right, well, that's it for today. I kind of went a little bit long. I apologize, but I will not leave today's reading without, as always, saying the prayer of salvation for anybody out there who has not given their life to Jesus. If they have not made him Lord of their life, today might be your day. Maybe this is the reason why you started listening to this particular podcast. So I am going to lead you in the prayer. And I hope that you say it along with. It's not about me, it's about you, and it's about your relationship with God. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, today I put my trust in you. I am not perfect and know that I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I thank you for the sacrifice of your son Jesus on the cross. It's his perfect and spotless blood that covers all of my sins, past, present, and future. On this day, accept him as my Lord and Savior into my heart and will live my life for him. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, congratulations and welcome into this wonderful family of Jesus. You are now a brother or sister in Christ, and nobody can take that away from you. It's a whole new life. It's a whole new birthday. We strongly suggest that you write it down somewhere because it's a day of celebration. So I know my day. Write it in this Bible, maybe for today's reading, on your phone, on your wall calendar, depending upon how old you are, whatever. But make it a day of celebration. We also encourage you to get to a church, a pastor, somebody who can kind of help you navigate into the next step. If you have questions, they'll be happy to answer them for you. We also suggest you get involved with whatever church you find that you're being fed at. Go get involved. Become a volunteer. Go into ministry, Bible studies. You can do anything, whatever your gifts are, mission work. It could be anything. Everybody has gifts. God gave everybody gifts to use, and you should use them to further the kingdom. So, and if you did get saved today, we would love to hear from you. You can reach us at through email, Lorraine@leapoffaithpodcast.org or Jeremiah@leapoffaithpodcast.org. You can message us on Facebook or Instagram. However, we do try to monitor as best as we can. We can pray for you. If you ask for prayer, we'd be happy to pray for you. But we're just glad that today is your day, if it is. So that's it for today. I don't know what time of day it is. I don't know what day it is for you. Morning, noon, night. I have no idea. But I'm just glad that you were here today. And I hope that you were just as blessed as I was to be reading about Solomon and his new life in being the king. So that's it for today. God bless you. Have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow.